Now I can feel confident to be able to speak, or at least to read. In the beginning of the pastime of Putana, excuse me, we heard that Putana was ordered to come to Braja by Kamsa, as a messenger of Kamsa, to kill all the children who had been born recently, because Kamsa was afraid. When we see something different or other than Krishna, wherever we look, it will cause fear in the consciousness. So Prabhupada, in one purport of Bhagavad Gita, says that a devotee lives in the mercy of Krishna. That means that wherever he looks, whatever happens to him, he sees Krishna in the form of his mercy. Jivateo mukti pade sadayavak. This consciousness of seeing Krishna and everything that happens is not easy to obtain. We can, with our intelligence or our mind, say, yes, from now on, this is how I will think. But it is not a matter of ourselves, our willpower, forcing this exalted consciousness. It's a matter of advancement and achieving some mercy from Krishna. Then one can see everything is Krishna's mercy. And then for such a person, Vishwapana Sukhayate, wherever one is, one can be fearless. Paratmanishtam etansaya paratmanishtam. One can cross over the unfathomable ocean of material existence by taking shelter always of Krishna. So Putana was sent because Kamsa was fearing for his own life, as if his fear was going to stop him from death. But he was demonic. So he sent Putana, who was the sister of Bali Maharaj and who had a peculiar history that I have recently heard, that when Vamanadev came to Bali Maharaj, he was so beautiful that Putana, Bali's sister, thought, oh, this boy is so beautiful. Only if I could have a son like him, and I would take him and I would feed him from my breast. And then what Vamanadev said, okay. How do you say that? Tatastu. You have to, if you say it without putting your hand, does it work? I don't know. But you have to. So then when Vamandev stole all the possessions, cheated Bali Maharaj, and then tied him up, this Putana became so angry and said, oh, when I feed him, I would like to poison him. Tatastu. Vamandev was very generous. So that was Putana. So when Putana came, she had disguised herself as the most beautiful, like Lakshmi Devi herself. And even though no one could enter Braja, practically speaking, no inauspiciousness could enter Braja, by the potency of Yogamaya, who wanted to see this wonderful pastime, wanted this wonderful pastime to be exhibited, Putana was allowed to enter, disguised as the most beautiful of all women. And she had so much shakti, potency, due to her beauty, that she walked right in. Right into Gokul, right into the compound of Nanda Maharaj and right into the house. And she saw beautiful Krishna lying on a small bed. And Mother Yashoda was there with Krishna. And Srila Jiva Goswami describes how she began to speak. She had charmed everyone by her beauty. And she began to speak in a very sweet way, but her words were actually quite poisonous. Not only was her breast poisonous, but her words were poisonous. She said, "Oh, Yashoda, you have become so hard-hearted that you don't have time to keep this boy to your heart continuously. You are so busy with other things. You have become hard-hearted. And you have Rohini even doing your duties of taking care of this boy. You have become hard-hearted like a demon." Tatastu. She was like this. Look how she spoke. And when someone speaks to someone who is soft-hearted like that, they feel bad. "Oh yes, I must be so hard-hearted. I wish I should be keeping this boy always to my heart completely and never let him go for a moment." So in this way, Putana bewildered. Of course, this is the accents of Yogamaya. She bewildered all the residents of Vrindavan, and she said, "I am Lakshmi Devi. And from my breast flows nectar. And I will feed your boy. And he will be strong and so healthy." And in this way, she picked up the most beautiful boy, Krishna. Now, Krishna was so absorbed, and this is the amazing quality of Krishna in Braja, because he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is unlimitedly powerful. Yesterday we spoke of what it means to be unlimitedly powerful. It is not possible for us to conceive of this. We cannot understand actually what unlimitedly powerful means. Universes, countless universes, 10, 20, 1,000, 1,000,000, 100,000,000, 200,000,000,000 universes can emanate from him, and that doesn't slightly even make his power less. This gives us a hint of what unlimitedly powerful means. Only cow moo ringtones are allowed. That's our standard. Everyone, they say, when you go on an airplane, they say, "Please transfer your phone to flight mode." So we should have a sign, "Please transfer your phone to cow moo." Well, Hare Krishna. You came late, otherwise you have kirtan. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, that beautiful boy, and this is the nature of Braja, that his consciousness becomes so trapped by the love of the residents of Vrindavan. They want to love him. In this case, Mother Yashoda wanted to love him as her darling, most darling boy. So Krishna reciprocates with that desire of Mother Yashoda by acting. His consciousness gives up its savagya. What does savagya mean? His all-knowingness. And he becomes just like a little boy. When Krishna is playing with his friends in the forest, of course not when he's that little, but later on he will play with his friends in the forest, and they will play, and boys always act like boys. They tease each other, they wrestle, they steal from each other, they make each other cry. And Krishna, when the boys would tease him, Krishna, in the mood of a friend, by the potency, by the power of the coward boy's love for him, his sucker's love for him, the power of Sridham's love for him, the power of Subal's love for him, the power of, who else? Madhu Mangal. Who else? No. Arjun. Who else? Yes, Ujjal. Who else? Stoka Krishna. Deva, so many friends. And they have so much love for Krishna. One of Prabhupada's godbrothers once told me, he said, you Westerners, you want to love Krishna. You think you can love Krishna. You don't even know what love is, he said. And then said that, I know someone who is 60 years old, and his mother, when he would be with his mother would take food and put it in his mouth and feed him. And he would eat it like that, as if he was just bacha, as if he was like a two-year-old boy. This, he said, is love. He was making the point that the love of the mother, practically the man was 60 years old after all, he didn't need to be fed, but the love of the mother was so powerful that she placed his consciousness in that mood. That is the nature of love. It controls, and that is actually what controls Vrindavan. It is the prema of the devotees. And Yogamaya makes arrangements in Vrindavan to facilitate the prema of the devotees so that they can give Krishna pleasure. So at that time, Krishna did not recognize, Srila Jiva Goswami says, who this Putana was, because he was just in the mood of the most charming son of Mother Yashoda. So Putana picked him up, and then Krishna's mood changed. So let us read what Prabhupada said, because yesterday's class there was very much about, because there was Krishna as a little boy. So we're reading this, we're hearing that God, the all-powerful, is just a little boy. He's acting, he's crying, he's sitting on the bed, tears are coming, he's drinking his mother's milk. What mythology! This couldn't be real. How can you say that the all-powerful, this is not what we believe, by the way, in case anyone getting convinced. How could you say that the all-powerful has this form that would limit him? That's the way that the impersonalists think, that form will limit. But actually, what we respond to that in the simplest way, if you say that the absolute truth, the unlimitedly powerful cannot have form, that limits him. That's our simple answer to that philosophy. Because it's trying to take a material concept, my understanding, through my very, very finite, my very, very small material intelligence, and trying to judge Krishna by that, the absolute truth, the unlimitedly powerful. Trying to judge him by my intelligence and measure him by my intelligence, and that's not impossible. I will only come out with what will I see when I look at Krishna? I will only see my own intelligence, practically speaking. I won't see Krishna at all. So therefore, to protect us and to argue against this type of thinking, which is typical for a conditioned soul, that this is just some kind of a story, and that's a limit to God, that if he has formed. So Prabhupada, he spoke so strongly against this, he preached very strongly against this Mayavad philosophy. And he explained that Krishna is unlimitedly powerful even when he's in the form of a small boy. He's unlimitedly powerful from birth. He's everywhere. So why can't he appear from the womb of Devaki? He's already there. He's everywhere. He's between every atom. He is in every atom. Why can't he appear from the womb of Devaki? It is not a lessening, a compressing of his power. He can do as he likes. He is swatantra. He is independent. Ishvara Paramakrishna Satchidananda. So he's Satchidananda, his vigra, his form. Beautiful, composed of eternity, bliss, and knowledge. He is all attractive. So Krishna, going back to reading what Prabhupada said, showed the nature of a small baby, and he closed his eyes as if to avoid the face of Putana. So later, Jiva Goswami, Srila Jiva Goswami will say that after breaking his mood, so to speak, of being the son of Mother Yasoda, when Krishna was picked up by Putana, horrible Putana, he became angry. And Prabhupada will mention this too. So Krishna closed his eyes as if to avoid the face of Putana. He did not want to look at Putana. This closing of the eyes is interpreted and studied in different ways by the devotees. Some say that Krishna closed his eyes because he did not like to see the face of Putana, who had killed so many children and who had now come to kill him. Because the face is the index of the mind. So look what her mind was like. Her mind was killing so many young children. How hard-hearted, how demonic one has to be to kill a young, innocent child. And of course, this is what goes on in the world. They give it a fancy name, abortion. Sometimes they say abortion clinic. But why do they say abortion clinic? Because if they put murder clinic, it would be harder for the people to come. But that's what it is. It's a clinic for murder. So her mentality was like that. Her mentality was like that. So Krishna did not want to see her face. And he had closed his eyes. He did not want to see the face of Putana, who had killed so many children and who had now come to kill him. Others say, that's one opinion, why Krishna closed his eyes. Others say that Putana hesitated, paused for a moment to take the baby on her lap because something extraordinary was being dictated to her from within. And in order to give her assurance, Krishna closed his eyes so that she would not be frightened. Second interpretation. And yet others interpret in this way. Here comes the third interpretation as for the reason Krishna closed his eyes. Krishna appeared in order to kill the demons and give protection to the devotees, as stated in the Bhagavad Gita. What verse? Puritranaya? Vinashaya? And the first demon to be killed was a woman. And according to Vedic rules, the killing of a woman, a Brahmin, cow, or a child is strictly forbidden. Krishna was obliged to kill the demon Putana. And because the killing of a woman is forbidden according to Vedic Shastra, he could not help but close his eyes. Another interpretation, four, is that Krishna closed his eyes because he simply took Putana to be his nurse. And Putana came to Krishna just to offer her breast for the Lord to suck. And Krishna is so merciful that even though he knew Putana was there to kill him, he took her as his nurse. or mother. And this will be later referred to by Uddhav with the very famous verse, Aho Pakayam. You know that one? Aho Pakayam Stana Kalakutam. Paki means witch. So Aho, how is it that this Paki, this witch, Ho Pakayam Stana Kalakutam, she took her breast and covered it with poison. Aho Pakayam Stana Kalakutam Jighamsya Dyadyapi Svadvi. But how did Krishna reciprocate with her? Datri, labhe gitim datri, tato yam, that she came. And even Brahma was astounded by this. That comes out in the 14th chapter of the 10th canto in Brahma's prayers. That she came in disguise of a devotee. She came disguised as a mother. There was a little bit of attraction, the tiniest, smallest bit of sincerity. And she became disguised, an imitation mother, with imitation love. And her desire was to kill Krishna. And how did Krishna reciprocate with her? He took that one good part, that she's disguised, she looks like a mother. Coming to kill, she's disguised herself as a mother, and he just took the word mother from that. And he gave it datri, the position of nurse in the spiritual world. Kamvadayalam sharanam brajema. This is the nature of Krishna, that he saw the one good, the little bit of good that was in existing, in an ocean of bad, he saw the little bit of good, and therefore, kamvadayalum, who is more merciful than Krishna? And who can take shelter? Who is more worthy of being taken shelter of than Krishna? And Brahma was so amazed by this, by this dealing of, by the way that Krishna dealt with Putana, that he was thinking of the residents of Vrindavan, from the gopis to Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda and all the friends and all the senior gopis and the boys and the servants and the trees and the grass. They have no other concept in their mind other than to please Krishna. The trees would please Krishna by their fruits. The flowering plants would please Krishna by their flowers. And the Govardhan Hill would please Krishna by what? Water, paniya, suyavasa, kandara, kandara. Caves for pastimes. When it would rain, the cowherd boys would go into the caves. What would it be like to be in a... Because when it's raining, when you're in a difficult, uncomfortable situation, and you're with someone that you love, that difficulty, that uncomfortable, becomes a source of sweetness and wonderful remembrance. Forever, practically speaking, do you remember the time Sudama was thinking, do you remember the time Krishna said that we went out into the forest and there was such rainfall and we had to keep each other warm at night in this cold rainfall by holding on to each other as we were gathering wood for our Guru Maharaj Sandipani Muni? Such a difficult time. So Siddhama all night long holding Krishna, and Krishna all night long holding Siddhama just to keep warm. And the boys in the caves, it would rain and they would be wet. And when it rains in Vrindavan, of course it's not this season, it's the warm season. And the boys would go into the caves with Krishna, and they would play in the caves, and they would shout, criticize the caves, who's in there? And they'd hear, in there, is an echo coming back, and they'd, who are you talking to me like that? Who are you talking to me like that? They'd hear that, they would play like this, and the boys would take vines and run outside and chastise the clouds, all with Krishna, all sharing these experiences with this most beautiful, clever, charming, attractive boy, Krishna, whose eyes were so beautiful, and his hair was what color? Blackish and curly, except when he was with Sudama. Then and his limbs were so soft that even if a leaf fell upon his skin, it would turn reddish in color just from the touch of a leaf, so soft and tender. But his fingertips, the parts of his body were so soft, but his fingertips, of course not at this age, were a little bit harder. Because, why? Yeah, because playing his flute, they had to be a little bit harder because they were playing, he would play his flute. And his flute playing was so charming. So charming. That when the calves would hear the sound of Krishna's flute, they wouldn't be able to drink the milk from their mother's udder. And they would sit, they would just be stunned, and the milk would just dribble out of their mouths. Krishna had everyone in Vrindavan just charmed. So, the residents of Vrindavan loved Krishna so much. So when Brahma, who was so intelligent, he's Brahma, he's the greatest of intelligent ones, when he saw that Putana had come to Krishna disguised as a loved one, but within our heart was the consciousness to kill Krishna. So, to be generous to Putana, there is 0.01% of devotion. And all the rest, 99.99%, was demon, killing, rakshasi mentality. And Krishna took the smallest percentage and saw that and rewarded that with giving her a position where she could actually feed Krishna and serve Krishna and love Krishna in the spiritual world. Because the breast milk of the mother, of the cow, of the mother, this is transformed affection. Because of the affection of the mother cow for the calf, that is why cow's milk is so healthy. Because it is affection. It has transformed affection into substance. Because the calf is essentially feeding the calf. So the mother's love for the child is transformed into milk. And the child is nourished by that, just as we are all nourished by affection. So Putana had the smallest amount of affection and the largest amount of poison. And Krishna gave her the position of nurse in the spiritual Datri. So Brahma thought, if he reciprocates like that with Putana, how is he going to reciprocate with the residents of Vrindavan who don't know anything, they don't have anything in their consciousness other than pleasing him, who love him, who have unlimited affection for him, who would die 100 deaths to stop him from the slightest inconvenience. how is Krishna going to reciprocate with them? And his conclusion was that he's going to forever remain in their debt. He can't reciprocate with them. So kamva dayalam saranam brajema. Who is more worthy of giving our trust and taking shelter of, than Krishna? That's the conclusion. So Krishna, he knew that Putana was there to kill him, so we already told somewhat the end of the pastime. But Krishna still took her, accepted her as nurse or mother. So what do you think when we hear about the nature of Krishna, his qualities, his mercy? What do we think? We think that maybe I should give up my fear and maybe I should really give myself to Krishna. What is the fear that every conditioned soul has? We fear giving ourselves to another. Why? Because in this world it's very dangerous to place oneself under the shelter of another, because this is the world of exploitation. Kamsa was compared, when Nanda Maharaj saw Akur, he said to him, how are my relatives doing in Mathura? And then he said, why should I even ask? They are under the care of Kamsa. And their being under the care of Kamsa is like an animal being under the care of the slaughterhouse, the keeper of the slaughterhouse. He may be feeding them, but ultimately he's just going to kill them, take advantage of them, exploit them. So we take this fearful mentality and we project it on Krishna even. That is what it's like to be a conditioned soul. It is dominated, the consciousness of a conditioned soul is dominated by fear. Again, vayam dvati abhinaveshatasyad ishad apetasya viparyatosmati. And therefore we see everything upside down. And therefore, to protect ourselves from a fearful position, we try to gain power. Because placing ourselves under another's control, under another's protection, makes us powerless. And that's the last thing a conditioned soul wants to be, is powerless. He wants to be in control, so he gathers power. And that is exactly what goes on in the material world. People gathering power, and people competing with each other, and people feeling more and more fearful of each other, because if I'm gathering power and my power is going to make me secure, feel secure, if I see you getting powerful, well, of course, if I see you getting powerful, that won't make me afraid, but because your very self is full of religiosity. But then fear overtakes when we see someone get my competitor for power. And the so much fear, and the more power, the more position one has, the more fearful one becomes. The leaders of the world, there are so many horrible stories of what leaders of this world have done. When people get close to them, they kill them, because they're afraid. So the devotee, the true devotee, he is surrendered. That means he has placed himself under Krishna's protection. And then if one is under Krishna's protection, what is there to fear in this world? If one is under Krishna's protection, if one is surrendered to Krishna, if one is surrendered servant to Krishna, is there anything to fear in this world? That is our philosophy, that there is nothing to fear in this world. If we place, we have our fate to meet. We all have our karma. We all have something to deal with in this world. No one has the perfect astrological chart in this world. There's always difficulty. There's always good times. There is always bad times. There's always, sometimes we lose everything. Sometimes we gain everything. Sometimes good fortune just falls to the sky, from the sky, and sometimes bad fortune seems to be following us. But a devotee is so fixed in his service to Krishna, gochupteva varanam tata, that he feels himself abhaya charanaravindu. He feels himself protected by Krishna always. And therefore Vishvapurna Sukhayate. And this is what we practice in life. This is the practice, the essential practice of a devotee life. He does his service and depends on Krishna, taking shelter of Krishna. Paratmanishtam etan sastaya paratmanishtam. This is a very high standard, but it is wonderful. It is wonderful. We should strive for seeking always the shelter of Krishna's lotus feet. Okay. We shall stop here, and now it is time to see beautiful Sisi Gornitai, and beautiful Krishna Balaram, and beautiful Sisi Radhasana Sandha. Thank you very much. Tomorrow, Krishna willing, we shall continue. We're up at the point where Krishna had closed his eyes. He had closed his eyes, and Putana had picked him up, not understanding who Krishna was.